I know that we're told that we're not supposed to judge. And I'm also probably the last one that should pass judgment on Elvis fans. I mean, after all, many of you will recall from a former service that he did show up at our wedding. But that was only because some of my friends are pretty off-centered and have weird senses of humor. Yet, if you ask any of them, including the impersonator himself, they would readily admit that Elvis has been dead for 32 years. Don't try to tell that to his real fans. They won't believe you. I mean, honestly, they think he's still alive. One non-Elvis fan discovered that for herself the hard way. She and her family decided to take a trip to Memphis, and of course, Graceland had to be on their itinerary. They were met at the gate by a 15-foot Elvis that says, "Welcome." And then they bought their ticket and they were standing in line, and she looked at the tour guide and she said, "So how long did Elvis actually live here?" The crowd gasped. A look of horror crossed the guide's face. She turned around and just stood there in a stunned silence. And finally, after she managed to regain her composure, she looked at the poor woman and whispered, "We don't use the past tense here." And then she pointed to her t-shirt, which read, "Graceland, where Elvis lives." Now, on the one hand, some of us who are positive that he's dead, as positive as his fans are insisting that he's alive, we can find the whole thing pretty funny. Yet there's also something very admirable about their willingness to believe the impossible and to actually spread what they consider to be the truth. Elvis is not dead. The king lives. You know what's sad about it all? Is that while these fans are, well, they're delusional. They're willing to speak up. But we Christians, we're pretty silent. While the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords does live, those outside of the church would never know it by the way most of us live our lives. Elvis fans are eager and enthusiastic to tell their stories and to share their memories, but we Christians, well, we tend to be rather quiet, don't we? And in our quietness, we may even be considered a little bit distant. So in place of being filled with the same kind of joyful zeal that is characteristic of the Elvis fans, we tend to come off more skeptical, like the ever-rational disciple named Thomas. Thomas. When the other disciples, who, by the way, were behind locked doors even after they had seen the risen Lord, when they told him that they had actually seen him, Thomas replied, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in his side, I will not believe." And we know that a week later, when the disciples were once again behind locked doors, Jesus appeared to them, and Thomas was there. And Jesus says, "Here I am." See the scars. Put your hand in my side. And in that moment, he knew. My Lord and my God is all that he said. You know what makes this story so uncomfortable? It's that we've lived it. We have experienced those same moments of despair and doubt. And yes, when we're caught in that dark night of the soul, friends have come to us and they've attempted to comfort us and bring us hope. And some of them have probably even reminded us of the eternal promises of Christ, who says that he's never going to leave us alone, that we can always trust on him, that the counselor will be with us no matter what. And we don't want to hear it, much less believe it. Despite their good intentions, all we can feel is the pain and the disappointment and the grief that is so overwhelming. And what we really want in those moments is a sign, something, anything that we can hold on to. Well, that's exactly how Thomas felt. He was devastated. His life had been turned upside down. He didn't know where to turn or who to trust. And when his best friend said, "We have seen the Lord," he thought they were delusional. He was dead. Thomas had seen it. And so, when they said they had seen him, it seemed more like a cruel joke than a statement of faith. But here's the important thing to remember. Despite Thomas's initial doubts and disbelief, when Jesus came and appeared before him, there was no condemnation or ridicule. There was no anger or sarcasm. In place of raking him over the coals and asking him where his faith was, Jesus stood beside him and gave him exactly what he needed so he could believe again. And once his faith was restored, Thomas went on to do great things for the risen Lord. It's that very same Lord who is willing to touch our lives too. And once we allow him in, Once we recognize his presence among us, then like Thomas, we'll no longer be able to be silent. Guided by his Spirit, strengthened by his presence, we will want to proclaim his message wherever we go. His stories will become our stories, and our hearts will overflow with joy as he reaches out to us and we find ourselves reaching back. Christians, why should we allow the doubts and fears of life to shake our faith and to silence our voices? The King lives, and our lives have been changed forever. So go and proclaim his message to the world. To God be the glory.